Right, so it's come to my attention that the bit before the theme music that I recorded as the bit before the theme music in a previous episode was a rip-off of a bit before the theme music that I'd recorded in a previous episode. Yeah. And I've had dozens of complaints. None of them are about the bit before the theme music. Most of the complaints are about my personal hygiene. But I've been getting a lot of complaints about that. That's by the by. This is me telling you now that this bit before the theme music is completely brand new material. That was it. Run the theme music!
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode... Let's do the interactive bit. How are you? Yeah, I know, I don't have a script, do I? I'm just doing my best. Well, don't shout at me. No. Forget it. I don't want to talk to you. Leave me alone. And scene. So how have you been? I just asked you that. Let's not do that again. So yeah, it's a brand new episode. I'm here. You're here. It's Christmas. I've got a lot of stuff going on, like Christmas stuff. And I'll be talking for a bit. And then there's other stuff as well. So there's stuff. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Now I've got an apology to make because I got a message through Facebook about 2 or 3 weeks ago from Kevin Church, and he was talking about the previous episode where I had talked about Christmas drinks and that, and he sent me some stuff following up on it, and I've been so busy with work that I just never got round to sort of getting back to him and following up on it. So I just want to read out a bit of what he's put. I've also tried making my own... Oh, sorry. I should remind you, so I told you in a couple of episodes ago, I tried to make my own eggnog and it curdled and I had to tip it all away, and instead I had rum and Dr. Pepper. It was a good night anyway. But I've also tried making my own eggnog. I bought way too many of all the spices, thinking I'll be sipping on my own homemade nog all winter, but then the same thing happened to me. Turned out crap and I never tried again. Yeah, it's a shame that, isn't it? If I'd done a couple of good ones and then the next one had been crap, I'd probably keep doing it. But because it was the first one, crap, it's like, oh, I'll never be able to do that. Then he's also put, here are a couple of Christmas drink staples at my house. Not drinks per se, but just the liquor itself because of the bottles. And he's got a picture there of a bottle of Absolute Vodka Raspberry flavour and Tanqueray. Now, if you're familiar with these drinks, you'll know that Tanqueray comes in a green bottle and Absolute comes in a red bottle. There's your Christmas colours right there, red and green. And he says, early December, I'll buy Tanqueray and the raspberry-flavoured Absolute, then finish them as fast as possible to use the empty bottles as light ornaments. You just stick a small string of Christmas lights inside each bottle and voila, the coolest festive counter lights. It's good, isn't it? It's a great idea. He hasn't sent me a picture of them in action. He sent me a picture of the bottles. Maybe I'll put that up on Facebook. But to be honest, the way I've been lately, I'll probably forget. But again, apologies, Kevin, and thanks for getting in touch. Now, there's one more thing I want to talk about. I got an email from my best friend, Chris Kavanagh, self-appointed best friend, that is. And he's put, just a heads up that I nominated you for greatest Christmas podcast ever in the universe. And he's put a link there to mymerrychristmas.com. And he's put, I think it's a given you'll win, don't you? Well, I do. Though maybe you should get your family to vote too, just in case. And yeah, so I was thinking if I could get all my four listeners, obviously there's only Chris obviously is one of those four, so if you get my other three listeners, if you could vote for me on that, that will make a massive difference and I'm bound to win a huge cash prize. I've got to say, kids, I'm not doing this podcast for the awards because I've won none. Actually, I think I did win one, actually. What did I win? I think it might have been Funniest Podcast about a year and a half ago. I didn't win it last year, tell you that for nothing. Yeah, and that's it. But I'm not doing it for the awards, and I'm certainly not doing it for the money. What am I doing it for? I have absolutely no idea. Huh, there we go. Okay, well, let's get started with this.
Oh, wow.
I'm mixing it up today, boys and girls, because usually I play the Do You Hear What I Hear first from Bob Baker. Well, today I'm not. I'm playing Christmas Every Day by Bob Baker first. So, yeah, this is another great idea for how to keep the Christmas spirit all year long. Bob, you look gorgeous.
Why, thanks, Jack. This episode's concept for Christmas Every Day is not from me, but from my wife, Mary Ellen. I have no problem going to sleep. In fact, I can have an energy drink just before I nod off. However, she is the opposite. She has tried all sorts of methods for shut-eye, including sleep podcasts with names like Inner Peace, Tracks to Relax, or Sleep Like a Log. They offer guided meditations where they talk you through relaxation exercises, or read you a bedtime story. I had never done anything like this before, but if you try them, you will find a soothing and excellent way to fall asleep. The hosts have these soft, dreamy voices, and they offer various ways to unwind and de-stress. But guess what else I discovered? Many of these same podcasts have special holiday episodes. They might read you a Christmas short story, or describe a cozy winter scene, all to take you to dreamland. So if you are looking for a quick holiday boost before bedtime, this is the perfect antidote. Now if you got another secret seasonal session to help rouse your Christmas spirit, well, you tell Jack, he'll tell me in all breathy detail, and together we'll be making listener dreams come true.
I like that one a lot, actually. Do you know what? I don't have trouble falling asleep, but I do tend to wake up ridiculously early because I need the lavatory and then I have trouble getting back to sleep. So what I tend to do is just plug in to a podcast, like normally my podcast, actually. It just helps me go to sleep back again. But now I'm going to start trying that. So that's a good one. Keep you festive all year long and have sweet dreams about Christmas. Now it's time for this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Here it is, boys and girls. It's my favourite part of the show, your least favourite part of the show. Let's get on with it. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. You're going to give me 10 answers. I'm going to tell you all your 10 answers are wrong. You're going to feel bad about yourself for the rest of the day. Do you know what? I won't lie to you, kids. The first couple of questions, they're proper doozies. And I didn't actually know the answers myself. So don't feel too bad. Okay, are you ready? Question number one. The song Green Christmas by Bare Naked Ladies features on the soundtrack of which 2000 fantasy comedy drama film? Any ideas at all? Any? I haven't got the slightest. It's like 23 years ago. Still, good luck with that. Question number two, another tricky one, but I think I know this one. The original soundtrack album of which 2021 animated film sequel features the song Christmas Baby Please Come Home, performed by the voice cast of Taron Egerton, Reese Witherspoon and Scarlett Johansson plus others. Any ideas on that one? I think I do know, but 2021 seems a bit recent, but we'll find out. It's exciting. Question number three. What is the name of the town in It's a Wonderful Life? Now, they've actually given me three options here. I'm not giving you three options. If you're a Christmas fan, you know the name of Bedford Falls. Okay, so what's the name of that town? Right, question number four. Which 2005 book, written in rhyme by Carol Erbersold and her daughter Chandra Bell, is about how Santa knows who's naughty and who's nice? Do not have the slightest idea. I just thought I'd chuck that in there. There might be someone out there listening thinks, yeah, I know that one, it's obvious. And everyone else is like, I got no idea. But you know what, there's only four of you out there anyway. So yeah, out of those four, one of you might know. Right, this one's a lot easier, hopefully. I know this one. In which 2002 film do Kermit the Frog and the Great Gonzo sing the song, Everyone Matters? Everyone mad. That's all you're getting. That's all you're getting. Okay, next one. Six White Boomers is an Australian Christmas song in which Santa's sleigh is pulled not by reindeer, but by boomers. What animal is a boomer? And you might know this if you've listened to the podcast, because I did actually talk about that song when I was covering Australian Christmas songs. Okay, question number something. Easy one again. Which carol's chorus is, "Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light." See what I did there? Yeah, I sung it to the tune of Silent Night to try and put you off. So good luck with that. Okay, next one. In the song, In the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, what were given on the fourth day? Tell me now. Okay, number nine. In 2010, which burger chain introduced the Sprouts Surprise Whopper to their menu? I think there's a clue in that question, isn't there? The Sprouts Surprise. I hope the surprise is that there's no blooming Sprouts in it. That's a good way to ruin a burger, isn't it? Chuck some Sprouts in it. Goodness. Right, last one. In what European language is Feliz Navidad the Christmas greeting? That is Feliz Navidad. Good luck with that. Easy one. Okay, how did you get on? Well, you don't know, do you? Because I haven't given you the answers. So wait till I've given you the answers. Hold on to your horses. Okay, here come the answers. And do you know what? I'm really annoyed because I should have got this one. So question number one, the song Green Christmas by Bare Naked Ladies features on the soundtrack of which 2000 fantasy comedy drama film? Yeah, the fantasy comedy drama film sort of threw me off a bit. It's Green Christmas. Who's green at Christmas? Yeah, The Grinch. That was it. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Jim Carrey version. Oh, I hope you got that. I didn't. Shame on me. Didn't get the second one either. The original soundtrack album of which 2021 sequel animated film features the song Christmas Baby Please Come Home, performed by the voice cast of Taron Egerton, Reese Witherspoon, Scarlett Johansson and others. Well, I'm ashamed to say I thought that was the sequel to Gnomeo and Juliet, Sherlock Gnomes, but it wasn't. It was Sing 2. Did you get that? I can't hear you. I recorded this weeks ago. Yeah, that's because Taron Egerton, he wasn't even one of the voices in blooming Gnomeo and Juliet. Anyway, was he? What was I thinking? That was blooming James McAvoy, wasn't it? Ugh, shame on me. Right, question number three. What is the name of the town in It's a Wonderful Life? Is it, do you know what? These are the three options you could have had. Is it Bedford Falls, Oxford Falls, or Bradford Falls? And the answer, of course, is Bedford Falls. Okay, this next one, I sort of feel like maybe I should have got it, right? Which 2005 book, written in rhyme by Carol Aebersold and her daughter Chandra Bell, is about how Santa knows who's naughty and who's nice? Well, how does Santa know who's been naughty and who's been nice? Well, he sends a little elf to sit on your shelf. Yeah, that was The Elf on the Shelf, A Christmas Tradition, to give it its full title. Yeah, didn't get that one either. I'm not doing well today, am I? Well, I've got Bedford Falls, so there's that. Okay. Right, we're going to turn it all around because I think I know the rest of them. In which 2002 film do Kermit the Frog and the Great Gonzo sing the song,
"Everyone matters, everyone matters, even the smallest of the smallest can make the biggest dreams come true. Everyone matters,
everyone
for
matters,
worse or for better."
Love that song. That, of course, is It's a Very Merry Muppet Christmas Movie. Yeah. Okay, next one. Six White Boomers is an Australian Christmas song in which Santa's sleigh is pulled not by reindeer, but by boomers. What animal is a boomer? It is, of course, a kangaroo. There we go. Okay. Which carol's chorus is, I'm going to sing it the proper way now, and you'll be able to get it if you didn't get it before. "Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light." That would be We Three Kings. Next one. In the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, what were given on the fourth day? Well, that is, of course, four calling birds. Although some versions, it actually says this in the book, some versions have collie birds. And a collie bird, as we all know, is another name for a blackbird. Oh, down to number nine now, here we go. In 2010, which burger chain introduced the Sprout Surprise Whopper to their menu? Well, of course, the home of the Whopper is a Burger King. Yeah. And the final one, in what European language is Feliz Navidad, the Christmas greeting? That, of course, I didn't pronounce it the way they do. That, of course, is Norway. And they say, ah, Feliz Navidad. That was terrible, wasn't it? Goodness me. That's it. I've lost all my Norway listener. Okay, no, it's Feliz Navidad is, of course, Espanol or Spanish. There you go. How did you do? I can tell you, I still got seven. And I'm fairly proud of that. Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. Those first ones were a bit tricky, weren't they? Yeah, but I thought I'd chuck them in there, and I'm glad I did. Because we all learnt something today. Now it's time for this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol is Kenny Everett's Christmas Carol from Christmas of 1985. Now, if you've never heard of Kenny Everett, he was a very, very famous and very popular DJ in the UK. He started off his career on pirate radio stations and then moved on to Radio 1. Then he got the sack and then he went to Capital Radio. He did a lot of radio stuff. And then in the late 70s, he had his own TV show. Originally, it was on ITV, which if you're in the UK, you'll know what I'm talking about. And then it moved to the BBC in the early 80s. And in 1985, he came out with this Christmas special. He'd had a Christmas special the previous year. And the following year, yeah, he actually did A Christmas Carol. So, I could tell you a lot more about Kenny Everett. I've looked into his life and he was such an interesting character. Sadly, he's no longer with us. He passed away from complications from AIDS in 1995. But he had a great back catalogue of material and TV shows. Now, I don't know if the Kenny Everett show made it overseas, but if it didn't, I'm sure you're familiar with the Benny Hill show, and this was quite a lot like that. The Kenny Everett show, similar to the Benny Hill show, lots of scantily clad women running around, lots of innuendo, smutty stuff really, and sadly a lot of the humour not so suitable for today's audience. So it was certainly of its time. I'll go through how it goes, and it was good, it was fun. The first bit is just Kenny Everett being funny. Now, he didn't actually write this himself. It was actually written by Barry Cryer, who, if you're in the UK and my age, you definitely would have heard of, and also Neil Shand, no idea who he is. And it, like I say, it opens with Kenny Everett just being funny. He's sort of like outside this cottage, and he's, it's quite good actually. He's, because he's talking about, like, this is my Christmas special, and I'm in here, and he pokes his finger into the window of the cottage, and then it cuts to inside the cottage, and this huge finger is pointing through the window that's just been smashed, which is really quite funny. And inside is like this old house with loads of old books up on the wall, and he makes a load of jokes. I'll play one for you. Have a listen to this.
Ah, something festive and seasonal. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny... That's enough of that. Hey, look! Claire Rayner's bumper book of Christmas problems. What to do if your pudding has cystitis?
And then he sits down and he starts reading A Christmas Carol. But when he's reading it, it turns out that he's actually reading the news. And he says, well, I must have the wrong auto cue. If I'm reading this, and he turns on the TV, and there on the news is John Humphreys, who was a newsreader of the time. And John Humphreys is reading A Christmas Carol. So, again, Kenny Everett says, I'll deal with this. And he pokes his finger into the TV. And again, the huge finger knocks John Humphreys out of the screen. And Kenny Everett starts reading the story of A Christmas Carol, obviously. So it starts off, it cuts to Kenny Everett as Scrooge, and he's got this very long nose, and it says like the cold bit the end of his nose, and he grabs the end of his nose and pulls it off. And I did read somewhere that this might have been like an anti-Semitic thing, but I don't really agree with that. I think they were trying to suggest that he was like a Jewish moneylender, but he wasn't talking like a stereotypical Jewish moneylender. And also, if you watch other versions of A Christmas Carol, there are plenty where Scrooge has got like a big long fake hooked nose. So, you know, is what it is. Then we see Bob Cratchit. Now, Bob Cratchit was played by a chap called B.A. Richardson. And he hadn't done a lot of acting. He hadn't done much then, and he hasn't done much since. But he is a songwriter, and he's written a lot of songs for Mike and the Mechanics, including this song.
Think I caught his spirit later that same year. I'm sure I heard his echo in my baby's newborn tears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years.
Yeah, so there you go. That's his main claim to fame. For some reason, he was cast as Bob Cratchit, and he's not like the Bob Cratchit in the books. He's quite a big guy, a lot taller than Kenny Everett. And there's a silly bit where he's like, I can't leave Mr. Scrooge, you've nailed me to the floor. And he's got this huge nail going through his foot. And Scrooge is like, oh, well, we need to do something about that. And he gets some holly and puts it at the foot of the nail, which is funny. Then we hear some carol singers at the door, and Scrooge goes up and like fires through the door with a big blunderbuss gun. And then there's someone knocking at the door. He opens the door, and who should it be but Bob Geldof? But it's not Bob Geldof, it's actually Rory Bremner, who I don't know how famous he was at the time, but now he's a very, very famous impersonator. He's doing his best Bob Geldof impression, because don't forget, this was 1985, so it was only like 6 months since the Live Aid concerts and 1 year since the Band Aid single had been released. So fairly topical for the time, isn't it? A very short time. He's like, this is him.
We want your money, Scrooge. Like, want it now, okay? So just give us your money, okay? Do you know it's Christmas? They don't know it's Christmas.
And then he's gone. There's no Fred in this scene, and there's no portly gentleman, and then Scrooge goes home. But just before Scrooge leaves, he says this.
Bob, I can't give your children any toys, but I am going to give you...
Oh, yes, Mr. Scrooge!
The sack! You're fired! Happy Christmas!
So, yeah, he's given Cratchit the sack. Then he goes home, and there's a bit of faffing around. And then who should appear but Jacob Marley. Jacob Marley is played by Spike Milligan. Now, I don't know if you've heard of Spike Milligan, but he was a very, very famous comedian. He was actually quite close friends with who was at the time Prince Charles, but now King Charles. He was also a member of the Goons. He's been in a load of films as well, but mainly as bit parts. But he was a very, very famous comedian and writer in the UK. He is Jacob Marley. He looks the part, but it looks like he's reading the auto cue the whole time when because his eyes aren't looking at Kenny Everett, and they could be looking at the camera, but it sort of looks like he's reading something. He does a decent enough job though, apart from reading the auto cue, and he goes, and then Scrooge goes to sleep and is woken up by the Ghost of Christmas Past, who was played by a man called John Wells, and I looked him up and he wasn't very famous. And he's really overacting. I'm not quite sure who he's meant to be overacting. I play a bit of him talking.
I am the Ghost of Christmas Past.
You're also a terrible actor.
Be that as it may, you thought you were going to spend a peaceful night in bed. Instead, Ebenezer Scrooge, miser, skinflint, moneylender, Christmas hater, and all-round humbug, tonight, this was your life!
I've got a feeling he's trying to be like Laurence Olivier's performance of Richard III, the Shakespeare play, but I'm not quite sure what's going on there. And in this bit, he only goes back to one place, and it's when Scrooge was a child. And at the time, there was a very popular TV show and a book that had come out called The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, aged 13 and 3 quarters. Well, this book appears on the screen that says The Diary of Ebenezer Scrooge, aged 13 and 3 quarters. And it's sort of like a takeoff of the TV show, and Kenny Everett is playing a young version of himself, talking like Adrian Mole from the TV series. And in the book and TV series, Adrian Mole was infatuated with a girl at his school called Pandora. And in this, instead of the girl's name being Belle, her name is Pandora, and they're at school. And Pandora is played by Annika Rice. She's really famous in the UK. She was massive in the 80s and early 90s. She had a TV show called Challenge Annika, and she was also in a TV show called Treasure Hunt, and she used to run around in these pink jumpsuits. And do you know what's funny? I never really fancied her back in the 80s, but seeing her in this, she was a gorgeous woman. Absolutely stunning she is. and the teacher is played by a comedian who wasn't very famous at the time, but he was sort of like on his way up, called Michael Barrymore. And Michael Barrymore became one of the biggest entertainers in the UK, especially throughout the 90s. He was huge. But then there was like this amazing thing that happened at a party at his house. And I don't want to go into it because it's like a true crime thing. I listened to a podcast about it last week after I'd watched this. I just wanted to find out more about what happened. And it was a four-part podcast that talked about this murder that occurred at a party at his house. And they still haven't... There's only eight people at the party and they still haven't been able to figure out who committed the murder. It's quite an atrocious murder as well. If you've got time on your hands and you like a bit of true crime, have a look on your phone now after this podcast is finished, please, and type in Michael Barrymore true crime podcast and it should come up. The one I'd listened to was called They Walk Among Us, and like I say, it was a four-part series about Michael Barrymore. It's definitely worth a listen. It's an incredible story, incredible. And he's sort of got a mild career today, but he's not popular. He's not on TV much, not like he used to be, like he was everywhere in the old days. Anyway, he plays the teacher and he's got a bit of a thing for Scrooge. I'll play the bit for you.
I want to see you in my study in...
In 10 minutes, sir?
No, in a black frock with a saucy black hat. And you're going to thrash me within an inch of my life. And I promise you it's going to hurt me much more than it would hurt you.
And I'll tell you what that reminded me of. That reminded me of the FX version that came out like 2 or 3 years ago of A Christmas Carol, where Guy Pearce played Scrooge and his teacher sort of was very interested in the young Scrooge then. Yeah, a little bit weird that bit. So then Scrooge is there in front of the mirror squeezing his spots, because that's what Adrian Mole used to do, and he's squeezing his spots and a voiceover saying, I lost interest in Pandora after she moved away and I became more interested in money. And then it's a dance routine from a band called Hot Gossip. Now, Hot Gossip were literally a dance troupe. There's like four of them, or there's four of them in this clip, and they're dancing to a couple of songs about money. And they were in the Kenny Everett TV show. Like most episodes, they'd be in there dancing around, scantily clad usually. And in this one, they're all sort of wearing suspenders and fishnets. It's something to watch, I suppose, from the 80s. I suppose all those ladies now would be in their 60s, which is still good. So then we get the Ghost of Christmas Present. He was played by a gentleman called Willie Rushton. Now, Willie Rushton was like a satirical writer, but he used to appear on TV all the time, did a bit of acting as well. He looks the part, actually. He's got a big beard and he dresses well like the Ghost of Christmas Present. And they go to see the Cratchits, and this is a bit silly, really. They're like in the Cratchits' house and Tiny Tim is actually kneeling on Bob Cratchit's shoulders. And it's... Well, I say kneeling, it's actually standing on there, but Kenny Everett is playing Tiny Tim and he's doing that thing where you put your shoes on your knees and you need kneel down so it looks like you're really short. And he starts spouting off about how wonderful life is and how lovely and lucky he is, and everyone, because he's, what he's saying is so sweet and sickly, everyone starts being sick. So like everyone in the scene and people around the scene and the Ghost of Christmas Present, they're all being sick, everyone's being sick. And then Bob Cratchit goes, oh, it's time for the Queen's speech. And in the street, Queen Victoria is like pulled up by two footmen, and the footmen are played by Tessa Sanderson, who won gold as an Olympic javelin thrower, and also James Hunt. And James Hunt, he was only 38 at the time, looks a bit older if you ask me. He was a famous Formula One driver, and his rivalry between Niki Lauda and him was the story of the film Rush, which came out in 2013, and he was played by Chris Hemsworth. You know, Thor? Yeah, he played James Hunt in that film. Sadly, James Hunt died only like 7 years after this came out. He was about 45 when he passed away. In fact, I've got to say, a lot of the people that are in this have passed away. Willie Rushton, Ghost of Christmas Present, he's passed away. Jacob Marley, Spike Milligan, he passed away. The Ghost of Christmas Present, John Wells, he's gone already. Like I said, Kenny Everett's gone. And mind you, it was 40 years ago, but still. Yeah, so anyway, so then you've got Queen Victoria sitting on her carriage and she's given her Queen's speech. But really, he's more talking like the Queen, our Queen, the one who just passed away, who would have been Queen at the time. And that's fairly funny, I suppose. I don't think it was great, but it was all right. You know, it was something. And then Scrooge wakes up again in bed, and who should we find next but the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. Now, the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come is played by Peter Cook. He was a very famous comedian, and he's also passed away. He was in a partnership with Dudley Moore. They had a TV show called Not Only But Also before they sort of went their separate ways, and he was in the film Supergirl. Now, I'll tell you an interesting fact about that. Originally, the role was offered to Dudley Moore, but he turned it down. I'm not sure why. I don't know if he was busy, but he said, how about my mate? So they got Peter Cook to play the bad guy in the Supergirl film. So if you've ever seen it, that's who he is. He was in a lot of other stuff, but now he's not. because he passed away. And all we see with that one is they go to the graveyard and Scrooge sees his grave, and the Ghost of Christmas Past says this:
Ebenezer Scrooge, born in 1803, died 1875. Here lies the world's greatest miser. How low can you stoop? He even had rubber pockets so he could nick soup.
And that's interesting, because that would suggest, if this was set when it was written, which it should be, that means Scrooge would have only been 40. Looks a lot older than 40. He's got very sparse white hair. But he would have been 40, because the book was written in 1943. And also, it suggests that he lived to the ripe old age of 72. So he didn't do too bad, being a tight old miser. But anyway, then he wakes up, and he goes to see the Cratchits. And now Tiny Tim is actually on top of the Christmas tree rather than being on Cratchit's shoulders, and Scrooge gives everyone loads of presents, and he lifts his hat. He's got this huge top hat and he lifts it up, and there's a turkey in there which he throws at Tiny Tim, not quite sure why. And then they end with a song, and that was it. And I think if I'd watched this when it first came out, which I probably did, because after I'd watched this, I watched this Christmas special from the year before, and I remembered it. I didn't remember a lot of it, but I remembered a few bits from it. I would have only been 10 then, so this would have come out when I was 11. And yeah, I reckon I would have sat and watched this. I was a massive fan of the Kenny Everett Show. I reckon when I was a kid, that was possibly my favourite TV show, or at least my favourite TV show for grown-ups. Yeah. Anyway, if you haven't watched it, I say go and have a look. It's on YouTube. It's only half an hour. It really is a blast from the past. You'll see what humour was like back then. And if you weren't familiar with Kenny Everett, you'll get an insight to his humour. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it, really. I mean, it wasn't one of those that stuck really closely to the story, so I can't really pick it apart that way. But I can say that it was a bit of fun. I laughed out loud a few times at the start. Actually, there's one bit at the start. It wouldn't work well if I explained it to you, and I couldn't play the clip because of the visual gag. But there was a bit at the start that really made me laugh. So, yeah, I say, why not check it out? Kenny Everett's Christmas Carol. I'll put the links in the show notes and on Facebook. Now it's time for this. Here it is, boys and girls, the moment you've all been dreading. It's another fantastic joke from my Christmas joke toilet roll. Are you ready? What do you get if you cross a skunk with a bell? Jingle smells. Jingle smells, what an awful joke. Oh, what fun.
Do you hear what I hear?
Bob's back again, boys and girls, and this is a great one. Have a listen to this.
You know what I don't understand? A baby can drink from a bottle, spit up, and fall asleep on the floor, and it's considered cute. But when I do it, it's some kind of a problem. So a few episodes ago, Jack mentioned a book that he was reading with his daughters. It is called Father Christmas Needs a Wee. I marked it down as I like to give my children picture books for Christmas every year, even though they are adults. As I considered this title, my Do You Hear What I Hear alarm was triggered. Needs a Wee is not a term you'll hear anywhere in the States. It is overtly British. In fact, if Americans consider the word wee at all, we adopt the Scottish definition, meaning tiny. It is just a word rarely used in the US. Now we know in the context of this book's title, Father Christmas does not need to be getting small. He needs to relieve himself. Using we to mean urination was only first recorded in England in 1968, so it has gained quite a bit of usage in 55 years. Now, some will say that the term we is only used when speaking to children, or for females, or with pets, but none of these include Father Christmas. In the US, we use the word pee for the same purpose. Plus, we use it as a verb. Santa needs to pee, while we works as a noun in the UK. Father Christmas needs a wee. The American term pee is generally just a euphemism for the word piss. This was an earlier Do You Hear What I Hear episode, where we only use the first letter as a means to be polite. Americans will also double up the word to to be PP, and it becomes a childish phrase for a penis. I know this may be true of wee wee as well, although not for the French. All I know is that if I have a foreign guest who orders a wee drink at the tiki bar, I better be sure I know which country he is speaking from. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Yeah, you see, we say pee as well. I need a pee. And it's funny because he said, you know, you either use it to kids or women use it. And that's true. Because as he was talking, I was thinking, yeah, it's not just kids. And I thought, oh, but I would never, if I was down the pub with my mates, I would never say I'm going for a wee. But if I was with the wife, I might say, yeah, I need a wee. Yeah, we say wee, we say pee, we say all sorts of things. We're cool like that. Actually, do you know what? One thing, I've got this thing of like elongating phrases, and actually I'll say I need a weeble, and the girls say a weeble, or do they? Or do they, is it just me? I say it to the girls, have you had a weeble yet? You know, before we go out or whatever. Do you really need me to talk about weebles and wees on the podcast? No, no you don't. First up, I want to say thanks to Bob. But if you haven't listened to his podcast, you got to check it out. I forgot to mention this when I was plugging it before. It's called The Festive Foreign Film Fans, and they talk about foreign Christmas films. But what they also do is, after they finish talking about the film, then they talk about like Christmas customs in that country and Christmas songs in that country. So it's not just about foreign films. It's also like Christmas all over the world as well. Yeah, so definitely go and check it out. It's called, I've already told you what it's called. Do you want me to tell you again? Festive Foreign Film Fans. It's a fantastic podcast. I know you'll love it. Check it out. Well, we haven't had one of these in a long, long time. Probably because I haven't done any interviews. See, what I've been doing, because people don't send in their stories about how they found out about Santa, what I do is every time I do an interview, I ask that person to share their story, and that way I get a little extra segment, you see. So do you remember last episode, I spoke to Matt Spaulding of the North Pole Radio podcast, and we talked about his job as a real-life Santa Claus. And after we finished chatting about that, he told me how he found out the truth about Santa Claus, and it's very interesting. Have a listen to this. Boys and girls, you may remember from our previous episode, I had Matt Spaulding on from North Pole Radio. He is a real life Santa Claus, and he's going to tell us how he found out the truth about Santa Claus. So please, Matt, tell us your story.
I wish it was a story. I wish I had something funny or interesting to tell you. My memory of it is just one year I just kind of knew. Like, nobody talked to me about it. It was never a discussion in our house. I never brought it up to my parents. There was never any big talk. And by the way, I believed later than a lot of other kids.
How old were you?
Which
28, 30?
Yeah, I wish. no, I 10, 11, 12. 10?
Oh, that's something. Good, though, isn't it? It's good that yeah. You kept going that long.
Yeah, it probably helps that I had a little brother who's a little, my brother's about 5 years younger than me. So that probably helps, you know, that he was there and we could kind of feed each other's belief, you know, in that way.
But there's no recollection. It just like suddenly one year you just realized you didn't believe.
Just one year was just sort of not a, and you know, like I said, it was never a discussion. I never said, you know, mom, dad, I know it's you. They never said, you know, we know. Just one year, there were just no more gifts from Santa. And that was just.
What? Hold on. What do you mean? So you're saying that you realized there was no Santa and then there was no gifts? Or was there a few years where you still kept getting the gifts? Because that's a quick way to find out. As you wake up one morning, there's no presents there. It's like, hang on a minute.
No, you know, like I know a lot of people have like a moment where they go, you know, where they, I know enough people that had a talk with their parents or some other child, like made them upset at school, said, you know, there's no Santa Claus and they had to come home and keep crying and have a talk. I had none of that. It just one year, it was like maybe one year, like I knew and still got presents from Santa. And then maybe the next year there weren't, you know,
and that was it.
It was just not a thing. Yeah. It never came up. There was no big, I think one year, just like, it just, I can't explain it. I really can't.
Yeah.
This is a first, this is. Like, nearly everyone I've spoken to, everyone that's given me their story, there was something. They remember something that sort of tipped it, and they just stopped believing. So your younger brother must have still been getting presents then, and you weren't. Or do you not remember?
Yeah, I think my younger brother did for a while, but like I think it was if from memory it was just you know, I may have just for a couple more years still gotten Santa gifts just for his benefit. I don't think there was a moment of like he's too old, but now as Santa, I kind of explain when I talk to kids that have older siblings, you know, I say something along the lines of like, well, you know, there comes a time when older children realize that like, even with all my magic, I can't have gifts for everybody. So they kind of go, I don't need toys from Santa anymore. That way there's more time for me to get stuff to the younger children. But there was none of that when I was younger, so...
Were your parents big on Santa then, or were they?
Oh, not? Yes. Yep.
Oh, mm-hmm. They were?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Big, 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 big thing. Yep. Santa coming was a big deal.
Oh, there we go. Okay, well, thanks very much for telling us your story. That was an interesting one. It just suddenly, just a realization that you weren't aware of. I like that a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks very much,
no
Matt.
Problem.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
See, what's great about that is everyone's story about how they found out about Santa is completely different. And that one is just like, it's insane. It's like just gradually just sort of became aware of the fact that, yeah, there's no Santa. It's like you actually, it's like as you're growing up, it's just like the process of growing up is the realization. Really interesting. I think for me, I've told you my story before, but I think for me, I sort of was pretty sure there was no Santa because people had told me that. But when my mum actually confirmed my dad's, then that was when, like, it was completely, that's it, there is no Santa. But for Matt, obviously, it was just like a gradual thing that just one day he realised he didn't believe anymore. Yeah. Thanks again for that, Matt. And if you're not listening to North Pole Radio, you really should check it out. It is such an interesting pod because he talks to loads of different people about working as Santa Claus. It's just so cool and I really do enjoy it. Now it's time for this. This episode's recommendation is a podcast that I've recommended a number of times before, and it is my two daughters' podcast, I'm Not Complaining, with Robin and Juno. And you're thinking, oh, he's still plugging his daughter's podcast. I am, and I have a valid reason for that, because they're just coming up to their 100th episode. Their 100th episode. Now, I am pretty sure they are the world's youngest podcasters. I am not familiar with any other podcast out there with children younger than them on it. And if they're not now, I'm sure when they started, they certainly were. Because back when they started, Juno was only 2 years old. And the podcast has been going for about 2.5 years now. And Juno is 5 now. Robin is 7. And they're up to their 100th episode, and it comes out on Tuesday. Now, here's the thing. Often I ask for input from listeners, and I'm asking again, if you've ever listened to their podcast, and if you do listen to it regularly, I know a few of you do, I'd really appreciate it if you could send me a voice message. It don't have to be long, it's as short as you like. If it's just, congratulations, Robin and Juno, that would be enough just to congratulate the girls on reaching this milestone. I really am proud of the work they've put in. And although the podcast, I'm sure, is not to a lot of people's taste, it is a great way for the girls to look back on what they've been up to over the years. So, yeah, if you want to get in touch and send one of those through, send it to the usual email address. That's totalchristmas@gmail.com. Or you can send it through Facebook. Just send the message through. I'd really appreciate it. And we'll play it on their 100th episode. And that comes out, actually, only a couple of days after I'm recording this. So, yeah, if you hear this just after it comes out, please send the message straight away. Please, I beg of you. If you've never listened to the girls' podcast before, it's loads of fun. They tell jokes, do a book review, they talk about what they've been up to, they give advice occasionally, and each episode's only 10 minutes long. It's just a bit of fun. If you've never had a listen, check it out. It's I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno, and if you type in anchor.fm/notcomplaining, it'll come up. Or if you just go on my Facebook page, I normally post their episodes when they come out. So yeah, have a listen. And send me a message. And that is it for this episode. I really do hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch, if there's anything you want to send in, my email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. or the website is totalchristmaspodcast.com. Also, I'm on Facebook, but that's all at the moment. And it's easy enough to find. Just put in Total Christmas Podcast, I'll pop up. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love ya. So merry, happy Christmas.
You did it! Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you. Hi.
Now come over here, boy.